By contrast, in the West, the barbarian king Charles the Great, Charlemagne, became crowned by the Pope, the new emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, which had very little to do with Rome indeed, except that Charlemagne was crowned by the Pope. Now, the specific causes of the schism involved diplomatic misunderstandings between these two camps and the theological dust-up around what appears to be a very trivial phrase. The phrase in Latin is filioque, and the son. It was inserted in the court of Charlemagne into the creed that was recited by Christians. The traditional Nicene Creed had simply, concerning the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit was to be worshipped and glorified with the Father and the Son, and proceeds from the Father. The West thought that was a little inadequate, and they added, and the Son. This affronted the tradition-affirming group in the East, and over that tiny phrase, actually that tiny phrase was the straw that broke the camel's back after these centuries of cultural, linguistic misunderstanding. And so the East basically said, the West was wrong. And it affirmed the ancient and continuous tradition. The West was innovative and stupid and barbarian, basically. And so that schism over such a tiny point has fundamentally never been resolved. And of course, it grew greater as the cultural differences between the Greek East and the Latin West grew ever deeper. The Orthodox tradition remains dominant in Greece, Russia, the Slavic nations, Turkey, Cyprus, and the Middle East. The organization of the Orthodox community is patriarchal and hierarchical, with special honor given to the Bishop of Constantinople. I should say, the Patriarch of Constantinople. Local clergy in the Orthodox communion are male but are married. But the long-standing monastic tradition within Orthodoxy is celibate. And bishops within the Orthodox tradition tend to be selected either from the celibate monks or those ordinary priests who choose to remain celibate. So Orthodox bishops are celibate, but local clergy are usually married. Orthodox spirituality is rich and complex, with particular emphasis on what is called the apophatic tradition of mysticism. Especially among monks, there developed a profound sense of mysticism connected with the prayer of silence, sometimes called hesychasm, from the Greek word hesychios, which means silence. Another dimension of this mystical tradition is the veneration of the saints through the use of icons. The word icon comes from the Greek eikon, which means image. And very early on in the Orthodox tradition, there grew the custom of portraying the saints or Jesus or Mary or scenes from Jesus' life in terms of exquisite pictorial representation, which were really thought to be revelatory. They were the objects of contemplation and in prayer. They have currently become very popular in the West as objets d'art. I mean, you can scarcely walk into a gift shop without finding icons on sale. But it's very important to remember that for Orthodox, this is not art. It is rather a form of religious expression. Indeed, the Orthodox resistance to the iconoclastic movement within Orthodoxy, breaking of icons, where that tradition of silence and hesychasm came into conflict with the popular piety of pictures and representations, and was deeply influenced, by the way, by Islam, because this controversy occurred in the 8th century when Islam was on the rise, and Islam, of course, destroys all images and refuses to give any pictorial representation to Allah. The Orthodox resistance to iconoclasm was really a defining moment in this tradition.